Badass Podcast, a podcast where we talk about Latina representation in film and television and why it matters. Today's episode, we're going to talk about the good Latina, not just about the archetype, but how does it impact relationships, gender roles, and a little bit of Marianismo, which I'm going to explain in just a second. Today, two of my amigas are joining me, Mayra Chavez and Carelia Ordaz, which if you heard the previous episodes, you know at this point they're incredibly bright, clever, and funny. And you're going to be hearing more of them specifically on this topic. So join us as we explore the ways in which this stereotype reinforces and limits Latinas, specifically around gender roles and expectations. And we're going to be talking about how this is very harmful. So sit back, relax, and let's get started. Now, amigas, when you think of this character, and I want to give you some context, because the research that I've done around these archetypes, this archetype actually surprised me. I did not see it coming, even though it's very present. The archetype of the good Latina is, you know, the one that is trying really hard, that kind of is comfortable with the place that it is, the where she is. But she has this idea of like getting ahead, right? Whether it's like study, getting a degree. But there's always this perception of getting out of the ghetto, like getting out of the culture, getting out of, and that is what's considered the getting ahead in life, right? Because of the limitations that come with it, at least the way it's portrayed in film and television. And the side that comes with it, that has very old roots with Latino culture, is Marianismo, which if you're unfamiliar with this term, I would describe it as the other side of the coin of machismo. Is a control system, putting people in a box, but specifically is the idea that women are supposed to portray and embody the Virgin Mary, La Virgen María, right? Like very submissive, very virginal, and like all those good qualities that come with being the quiet, the behind the scenes, the just being comfortable with within your own space. And knowing that if you stay in that space, you get rewarded. So I feel like it's what is really interesting and why I didn't expect to see it in American film and television is because it has a really strong tie with very old school ideas around Latin America, especially around the Catholic Church. So with that in mind, I'm curious if there are any specific characters in film and television that come to mind around this archetype.
I think we were mentioning or talking a little bit about Jane the Virgin, which is like, it was a show, a series, that had the actor Gina Rodriguez, they had a Mexican actor, I think, Jaime Camil, and they had other actors. But the story of that, the whole series, is this young woman who is a virgin, who is like studious and like nice and kind, ends up in like being pregnant. And it almost seems like this like modern of what Virgin Mary is, right? Like this very modernized of like, oh, she got pregnant. You know, it's kind of like a magical.
Literally like the Virgin Mary type of.
Exactly. Yes. And her navigating that, but also like family and expectations, but still very like her whole character is just having being this very nice, understanding, doing good things kind of person, and it just continues up until like even the series ends, right?
Well, she's always cared for other people. If I remember correctly, when I watched it, she's a great daughter. Like, I mean, she's a great, the character is portrayed as a great person. And you know, it's like good for you. Like it's like I would love to have you around, but then there's this idea. I was like, well, who's taking care of you?
Yeah,
right. She's always taking care of the mom, the dad, kind of catering to everybody around her.
And then the boyfriend, and then the son. It's a very catering kind of, a very service kind of perspective or just character that she plays, right? Mm-hmm. Even though she is like the rest of us, working, going to school, doing the thing. I think she's like a writer at some point. So all these things just mm-hmm. like play into like her character, but it continues, right? She's still also nice and kind and continues to do service and all that. I think that's what I think immediately. I don't know if there's some other portrayals of what the good girl or good person is supposed to be.
I can't think of any that comes to mind. I think what comes to mind for me is that's my story of wanting to get out of the ghetto, wanting to be the good daughter for, you know, as an older daughter of immigrants and an immigrant myself, like that drove me in some ways. Mm-hmm. I think what I hear from you, Maida, with Jane the Virgin is the idea of purity mm-hmm. that is really ingrained in women since birth. I actually, my dad made a comment to me yesterday because I went out. It was a party in San Francisco. And, you know, he's like, don't drink too much, you're a woman.
And just for the record, Kareli is not a teenager, right? Like,
thank you, first of all. We are all women in our 30s.
Yes, literally.
No better.
And I was just like, first of all, I understand the advice, don't drink. Second of all, I know that. Like, I am a grown-ass woman. I don't get wasted and black out at parties, let alone this is a grown folk party in the Salesforce Tower. Like, this is no, you know, ghetto. Even if it was, like, I still know how to conduct myself. But for me, the fact that he says, because you're a woman, not because it's bad for you. Like, if for me, if he would have said, don't drink because, you know, it's bad for you, or, you know, you're going to be hungover, or, you know, it's bad for your health.
It's not healthy. Don't,
yeah, sure. That, I think I would have received it much better than because you're a woman. And
so if you're a guy, it's okay for you to be
exactly.
drunk and make a fool of yourself.
Exactly. So, I mean, that just goes back to, like, the idea, you know, if I was a man, if my dad would not have treated me that way. He would never say that to a son. And, but because he has two daughters and he needs to protect our purity, that's where these comments that really boil my blood.
Girl.
And frankly, my Uber was right there and I was not, you know, it was not going to ruin my night. And I just basically said, don't start with me. And I walked out the door.
It's... This episode is going to be a trigger for us. I think it's true. And I feel like that's very aligned, you know, with Marianismo and expectations of women, especially if you grew up in a immigrant Catholic household. I mean, I'm going to say that again. Immigrant Catholic household. The expectations that come to that for daughters. Because the double standard is very real. You know, I have two brothers younger than me. And I kid you not, when I started dating, my dad will make me take one of them to my dates.
The typical. That happened to me. I used to be that third wheel to my oldest cousin.
And,
yeah.
You know, if he would have been like, okay, take your brother. Here's some money for his popcorn and his thing. No, the date had to pay
Same.
For me and the little
and
kid.
And my mom would be like, order food. Order, like, don't be shy.
Yeah, it's like, we have to test the guy, right? Like, he has to pass this test. It's like, what if the poor guy can barely afford my ticket and that he has to pay too? I mean, credit to my husband. Poor guy. I owe him so much money. But... You know, it just goes back to what are you protecting? And the idea of virginity, the idea of not owning your body, your sexuality, and just having to stay in this, like, behind the line of not fully being yourself and, you know, being self-spoken and, like, not cursing and... There are so many expectations that come with being the good Latina. And I've, like, for me, when I see that in film and television, it's like, oh, you are just perpetuating the idea that if you behave like that, like that's the only way you get rewarded. Mm. And it goes back to control. So I think for me, that is like what that archetype brings to me.
Yeah.
It's really a way of, you know, keeping, and, you know, I don't think this is necessarily exclusive to Latinas, but, you know, keeping us in line. Mm-hmm. In this sense of you're always supposed to be there for other people before mm-hmm. you are there for yourself. And I feel like you hear it in every day when, you know, just think how many times you've been praised when you're doing things for somebody else, right? And then versus, like, if you take yourself to a spa, if you do something for yourself, it's like, ay, mira, todo su dinero se lo... You know, it's like, I could hear, like, you know, the nasty tía comments, like, coming to my head already.
The nasty tía.
The nasty tía. That's a character. Everybody has a nasty tía. Exactly. You know who that is. Everybody's thinking about it. But, you know, like, that nasty tía lives in my head, like, saying all the things and perpetuating that idea of if you are not well-behaved, well-mannered, submissive, you are not going to get the rewards that you're looking for.
And it goes back to, at least for Mexican culture, like, it goes back to our religion, right? We have, you know, Catholic and, like, the Virgin Mary, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, like, a stereotype that everyone was like, we have to be that. And then you have Marianismo. It's like, another of, like, you need to be pure, you need to be kind, you need to be submissive, all these things. And the contradiction is that in Mexico, we have so many, you know, feminicidios, right? It's like, how do, if yes. you don't
and
fit,
here too.
If you don't fit that stereotype of what the woman Latina is supposed to be, then it's like, you're dead. Literally, like,
and you, it's just it was
exactly
your fault.
we think about, like, novelas, like, right? The same thing with novelas is that you have the character, the protagonist is always the pure one, the nice one, the one that's, like, you know, comes from, like, very low income background and
really
wants to do it, you know,
in every novela.
Yeah, and even more, like, every character in every novela, like, and then you have the one that's, like, wants to take the husband or wants to, like, it's like, you know, the one that's like sleeps with everyone and, like, just wants more of her, doesn't have kids, all these things that you think about, and it's like, it's either you're this or you're that
binary.
Yeah. And it's like, again, we go back to, like, there's so many more things that we are and can be, and we can be both, and there's right. also nothing wrong and, like, making it seem like there's something wrong with not wanting a husband or not wanting kids or waiting until that and not having them when you're 10, 20, 30 years, you know, waiting until, you know, you're ready for it or choosing your career first. Like, all these things that get looked down upon, you know, sleeping with other people instead of, like, just being a virgin until you get married, right? Those type of things and expectations that we have put in our society and expect that of Latina women. It's just like, We can be all of these things, and one doesn't have to be better than the other, and one doesn't have to be worse than the other, kind of thing.
Right, and that goes back to the pressure that's put on us because we sit at the intersection of so many different things. And I think what I was thinking about as you were speaking is there's certain qualities about the good Latina that are good. Like, you should be a good person, a good human. You should care about other people, not at the exclusion of yourself. But I think there are a lot of good qualities that are important to lift up, but it's not complete. That's not the entire story of what you need to survive.
Yeah.
You know, especially if we're talking about, you know, living in the hood. Yeah, you have to be nice, but you also need to stand your ground. And, you know, what are those survival skills that are necessary to thrive? And it's not just being nice and bending backwards. Yeah. There's complexity there. And I think that those who create this character don't allow for the complexity that is in our identities.
Right. And that it's also not obsolete, right? Like, the good qualities shouldn't just be for the Latina woman, right? That if it's, you should be a good person, that's just, like, humankind.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
This is not just that. Like,
right. We should all be good people.
We should all be good people.
Exactly.
Like,
we should all care about
each other. Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. It's, like, it shouldn't just also fall on one character or one
gender
person.
Role,
yeah. Yeah.
But I think that what makes this archetype very unique is the accommodating to others, you know? And I feel, you know, and on that line of there's nothing wrong with it, right? Because I feel like I do this a lot as the older sister.
Mm.
Like, you know, I love cooking for other people. I love hosting. Like, I love, you know, making people feel, like, cozy and comfortable in my on my space. But then when that is expected, when you're not in the mood to do that,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's when it becomes really problematic, right? Because even at the very low bar, things that, you know, my mom will ask of me, like, she would not expect my brothers to do it,
mm-hmm.
right? Can you help me make an appointment to the doctor?
I put my foot down on that.
Oh, go for you.
I said, no, you need to do that for yourself. You know, I already do, you know, X, Y, Z, all of it. So I'm not doing that. And I think it was really tough to make that stand to my parents, especially.
Oh, because the guilt trip is
real. And I personally felt terrible. But I also felt like it wasn't fair. I am already navigating America, college, the workforce. They're not helping me. I mean, I love them, but, you know, they don't have the skills or the experience to really help me navigate mm-hmm. those worlds. And then they expect more? No.
Yeah. It is the expectation on the Latina woman, right?
Like, yes.
It is really that. It's like, you do have to be accommodating. You do have to all of these things, you know? And it's like, the guilt trip. I think that's the another thing. And that we get that for sure from religion. Like, the guilt trip is so real. As someone who has been to church in, like, the past month, like, 5 times, not by choice.
I was like, wow, you're such a devout person, Maya.
Most times I've ever been to church in my life.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong going to church.
Church people is good for you. But, like, it's just like, wow, like, the guilt trip, like, the things that I've heard,
sermons?
I'm just the sermons, I'm like,
right,
baby Jesus, you allow this,
right?
It's all about guilt trip. It's like, oh, you have sin, you're born a sinner, and all these things,
and suffering,
exactly,
it's a constant Game of Thrones,
and suffering is okay, yes, and also that you are here to serve other people, right? It's like, you don't come first, it's like everyone else comes first, then you come first, kind of thing. And you putting yourself first or wanting your needs met first are always seen, looked down upon, or not, are seen very selfish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And wrong. Like, that's wrong. And I think we live in a country where being selfish is a thing. Like, it is very common.
Yeah.
But then we have our culture, and we have all these things that kind of just intersect, and you're like, oh, the guilt trip, like, oh, am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? All these things. Putting a boundary with parents, like, you know, as we talk about boundaries, and we talk about, like, putting boundaries with, like, work and personal life, but putting boundaries with your family is, like,
it's so hard.
It's so hard, and it almost feels like they feel like that shouldn't exist, right? Like, that boundary should not exist. And you're like, no, it should exist. and that's when the guilt trip comes, right? Because you're like, oh, am I doing something wrong? Is this, like, am I being a bad daughter?
Yes.
You know, am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Because, you know, again, you're like, you know, they raised me. Question yourself.
Yes.
Is this wrong? And all these things.
But, you know, something that you said, it reminded me of something that I read recently, that being selfish is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Being self-centered is what is not all right. And it's not the same. Because I feel like when, like, we have confused I feel like selfish for me is, okay, I need to take care of myself right now because I don't have the energy to take care of somebody else. And I think it has a little bit of that to do of well, I cannot give you my water if I'm thirsty, and I shouldn't. And I feel like that is a very hardcore concept for people to grasp. But it's like if you were in an airplane, right? Like, what's the first thing they tell you? Put on your mask first before you put it on somebody else. Like, you're not going to be helpful to anybody if you can't breathe. I feel like it goes back to that remembering whether or not you can be there for somebody and, like, assessing your level of energy. And being self-centered is when you, like, okay, no, I need this for myself, but I expect all of you to be there for myself. And I feel like that there's a difference, you know? So I feel like we need to destigmatize being selfish, because that doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. It just means you need a space for yourself before you can be there for somebody else. But I think going back to boundaries, I think I can say as a almost 33-year-old, I still don't know how to set boundaries with my family.
Same.
Same learning. And, yeah. And also, just to be clear, two of us here still live with our parents.
How about that? Yeah.
It's like we also like fall into this like, oh, you don't leave your house until you're married kind of thing, or like until you're with someone. Right. And it's just like,
but you can never win, because, you know, I left my house when I was 22, but it was, you know, to move in with my boyfriend, and it was the, oh, well, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving married.
Yeah.
You know, no te vas de blanco. So it's like, there's no winning.
Yeah.
Well, what was I going to say?
Parents, boundaries, not having them, guilt tripping yourself,
living with them,
all bundled together.
Well, yeah, I think of living with them, I've had to reframe that relationship and that arrangement in my head, and also in theirs. So, you know, I've just had to be like, we're three adults living in the same household.
We're roommates.
We are roommates. We, you know, we all pay rent. You have that corner of the house. I have this corner of the house. So kind of laying those boundaries has helped our relationship. Of course, my dad does whatever my dad does because he's a man of the household. But I think we have been able, through a lot of pain and challenge, and this is going to be a whole issue about our daddy issues, a whole episode about our relationship with our dads. But, you know, I think because I've been able to stand my ground with my dad, he respects me, not in the way that I want to be respected all the time, but in a way where it makes our relationship tolerable, our living situation tolerable.
That's interesting. You know, it's funny because you talk about like at what point, because I feel like a dad is essentially like the first man you interact with, right? Like the first man that, in a way, I almost feel like you're learned to see yourself in a certain way as a woman, more the way your dad sees you than your mom sees you. Because I feel like you're a reflection of your mom.
There are so many layers there.
Yes. That's an onion. That right there is an onion. But, you know, like on that note, I feel like I could remember exactly when was the first time that I felt actually like respected by my dad. And it was recently. You know what I mean? And it was because growing up, I do believe both men and women are victims of machismo. I don't think it's something that, you know,
we continue our own stereotypes, even unbiasedly, like, and sometimes on purpose, of like what the roles of of a woman, and of course we're talking about binaries, right? Like,
yes,
just two genders, but we continue that in terms of like how we're supposed to act and react and be.
We're putting everybody in a box, essentially. And I think, you know, just because of my personality, I've always been very loud, very assertive, very masculine, you know, with masculine qualities. It was always like a big tension between me and him. And like, I'm looking at you, Carelli, because, you know, we have similar
stories,
personalities. But I feel like when you have a dad that is like, all those ideas that are being imposed on you are also being imposed of him.
Right. Mm.
And like, you're supposed to be the provider. You're supposed to be the strong one. You're supposed to be like,
can't cry,
the list of, you know, commandments of machismo that come with that. And then you start becoming the provider. You start becoming the person with the big check. You start becoming independent, and you really start deconstructing what it means to have his role as a dad and then to have your role as a daughter. And it doesn't fit with this idea of like the good Latina, the good daughter, because it's that's too limiting. And what sucks is that you have to become this really strong persona just to survive and get ahead in life. And it will be comfortable, you know. I would love to be a daddy's girl. Like, that would be a nice place to be. But that's just not what life allowed me to be. Mm-hmm. And then it was a life doesn't allow you to be that. And also you're getting punished by
literally
having to come out of that space.
That's a whole conversation. I don't even know what to say about that.
We're gonna take a moment to breathe. Literally breathe. If people are watching or listening and that's true or something, just pauses, walk away. Sometimes that's always a good idea. What was the thing that you mentioned in another episode? Reflect. That moment to pause. Yeah.
Create that space. Yeah, rethink it.
Rethinking. There's a lot of unlearning that needs to happen.
Right.
I feel like not just for this archetype, but for all the archetypes that we've talked about. Unlearning is harder, I will say, than learning.
100%. And I think that I'm excited about that. The fact that, again, we're having these conversations. Like, did our moms have the opportunity to think about these things?
Probably
not.
They
were just surviving. And I feel blessed to be part of the generation where I'm beyond surviving, you know?
We're thriving.
Thriving, stepping into that.
Yeah, you mentioned like our moms. I think, like, for me, is seeing, you know, that I in another podcast, I was hearing someone just said the words that our women, and someone else was telling me this, like, our moms basically go from one household to another household,
right,
and then go to like taking care of like kids,
right,
and then that kind of becomes there's not only in between, but it's more of like, who are you as a person? Like, who are you as, like, what if you're not a mom, a wife, or a daughter,
right,
then who are you? And right, and like, so many moms, because some of us, like, some moms didn't get the choice of marrying whoever, who they wanted to, or like, they're just like together, they never actually married, like that kind of thing, right? And then they immigrated here. And it's just like, and then they become moms, and then, you know, they continue to be daughters and providing for like their parents in Mexico, or if they're here, that kind of thing. It's just like, who are you? So when your kids leave and maybe you're no longer like your husband, it's like, who are you as a person? And I think that's such a big shock, like, at least for me, like, seeing my mom, like, as a, you know, she of course doesn't want any of her kids to leave, because then it's like, who is she as a person, right? Who is she if she doesn't have a partner anymore? Who is she as a widow, you know, wife? And so, and then having like me and my siblings there with her, so I see that.
Yeah.
And we have an opportunity that most people in previous generations did not have, which is that choice of not having to marry right away, or not having to move with someone right away, right?
Yeah.
It's a choice, right? Like, if
or
that's
have
if,
kids
if
right
that
away.
If that's what you want, then that's your choice, right? But we have a choice of like living on, independently on our own, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm navigating into, like, how is it to like live with me, myself, and I alone, and having the choice of whether I want kids or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those are like, this is like the first time you're seeing a lot of our generation, and like the first generation that really has that choice.
Yeah.
Like that choice of being able, and part of it is because we are in this country, right? Because our parents made that move,
right,
to immigrate to this country, to have, in a sense, that freedom, right? To be able to have those choices and not having to continue perpetuating
those stereotypes and that kind of like just the generation before us. And honestly, that's like scary as hell, but it's also hella cool. And like also like navigating that world, like what is it? What is it for me to have my own space? You know, what is it for me to like choose and have that space of what I want that to look like? And then what is it to like then say I want a partner, or then say I want kids, or what is it to say I just want kids? Right? And I don't know what that's gonna look like, and maybe I don't need a partner, and like those type of navigating like those type of things, it's honest, it's scary, but it's also like how cool is it that we have the opportunity, right? That so many of our generations before did not have. And again, there's nothing wrong with doing the same thing that your parents did, that's okay. But it's like you have that choice now.
I think that's the beauty of everything that you just said, the power of choice. You know,
and it is a privilege.
It is
because
a privilege.
Not everyone
100%.
Has it. We're privileged that we're educated. We have that privilege. We do have a privilege. Like that's also the other thing. Not everyone's gonna fall into that, and also, why not use that? You know, to our advantage.
Yeah. Well, I think with that, I want to end on that positive note. The power of choice. Whether it is. No kids, husband, no husband, partner, no partner. You do what you gotta do. But that's the thing. You choose. And that is the beauty of that. One word, amigas. What's a word that you want to walk away based on our conversation? I'm going to go with choice. I'm going to go with quote admire on this one.
I think I'm going to go with strength. Like having that strength to pursue your goals, dreams, and doing them, right? The strength of like choosing and saying things that may not be what our parents or what religion or what our culture has dictated on us, but having the strength to say, choose otherwise.
I would say blessed. I think we are, because of where we sit at in the world and all of the sacrifices that were made for us, we're blessed, and we should lean into that to step beyond survival into thriving.
Yeah. And I think as a final note, you know, we're here because of all the women that came before us, all the women that didn't have the choice to be good women and get rewarded. So I think if you're in that position, you should just embrace it and roll with it. Not just for you, but for all the generations before you who didn't have that choice. And I think with that, thank you for listening.